this is the day. Vacation.
Last night in ditch to get out of town, I guess.
Could be.
This is the day the Lord hath made, isn't that right?
Yes.
And we will rejoice and be glad in it. The Bible verse, but it really is apple for us to be thankful that He has given us this day, that we can get up and we have the breath that we have, and we can move around. And the free country. Lord Jesus, we just thank you. We thank you for the gift of salvation. I thank you for the body of Christ as a whole across the entire world right now that is worshiping you. Father God, I pray that you would continue to pour out your Spirit upon all flesh, Lord God, and draw us all closer to you. You are the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And right now it is our desire to worship you. In spirit and in truth, I pray that the words of our mouth and the meditation of our hearts will be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Thank you. We praise your name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
that's just dead inside. Lord God, I pray, Father, that you resurrect that life inside of them, Lord. That you just help them see, Lord God, that what we go through in this world, Lord God, is nothing compared to the glory that is to come. Father, help us have that hope, Lord God. Help us to stay sober and stay awake. Father, help us not to become numb to things, Lord God, and help us not to want to run away from things, Lord God. Help us to stay on this path of righteousness, Lord. And show us what that means, Father. Not self-righteous, but righteous in you, Lord God.
Be set free. you've done for me. Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. Oh, yes, I sing for all that you've done for me.
Every time you're singing that, this is Amazing Grace. And I know that we say it all the time, and, you know, in a way sometimes it can become a cliche. Yes, Lord's amazing, he has grace for us. But just think about all the times that we don't have grace for people. That's the only thing that pops up in my mind, how easily we get irritated, you know. And that's just for little things, like someone not putting something back. I've never put anything back ever. I'm totally chaotic. And, you know, Josh, that irritates him sometimes. And some, I'm sure he does a lot of things that irritate me, too. It drives him nuts. But I'm like, we've been married 14 years, honey, whatever. But I'm saying all of these little things irritate us, you know? And we're talking about how we constantly are unfaithful to the Lord. We are constantly sinning. We are like a bride that is looking for men anywhere we can find them. We're bad. And you know what the Lord says? He says, I love you. Please come back to me. So that's what we mean by amazing grace. We are constantly unfaithful. We're not saying, okay, Amy, I won't be mad at you this time for moving that. That's nice. But we're talking about the grace of the Lord here. And I pray, Lord God, that we have that full meaning and that full depth of what your amazing grace is, Lord God. And I pray that we don't use those words even lightly, Father. And that you just remind us, Lord God, that as you have grace for us, Lord God, when we have that one person that truly offends us and truly hurts us, Lord God, that we know what that amazing grace feels like, and we can give that grace to others freely, Lord God, so they don't have to carry that burden anymore, Lord God. Even if they haven't fully understood it either, Lord God, but I just pray, Lord God, you help us not only to accept that, but also to give it, Lord God.
Down at your feet.
trust, Father, that you're going to help us through. Remind us of all the times, Lord God, where you helped us, whether it was small obstacles or big ones, Lord God. I know there's so many testimonies in here, Lord God, about how you helped people, Father. And bring those to our memories, whether it's our own stories or other people's, Lord God. And that's one of the reasons that we love to share testimonies, because it can encourage other people. When we cry out to you, Lord God, help us to know and even have understanding, Lord, that you're going to respond to us the way that we need a response, Lord God. And if that's letting us go through the trial a little bit longer, then we're going to trust in you. If that's you pulling us out right away, then we'll trust in you, Father. If that's you just letting everything fall apart for a little while so that we even dig deeper into your word and into your spirit, Father, we're going to trust in you, Lord. And when the times are amazing and wonderful and we have a little bit of a rest, we're going to trust that you're going to use that to just make us stronger for those harder times to come, Lord God. I do pray for your leading today, Lord God. I pray for clarity, Lord, and I just pray for open hearts and open ears, Lord. Amen.
Everybody, good morning to you. So glad to see you here. You know, I'm so glad that God has brought you guys out, the old and the young. Who's old? I mean, just the young. You know, I just love that God has brought together, Lord, how do I say this? God has brought together such a hodgepodge of people and brought them together as a body. And this should so not work. And yet God somehow brings each person in and blesses and uses them, and as iron sharpens iron, so is one person sharpens another. It's amazing.
It's a good variety.
It is a good variety. That's absolutely correct. That is correct. You know, and in a sense, you know, and if God has made you a superstar type of Christian person, then praise the Lord for that, honestly. But, you know, I'm kind of thankful that, you know, we've got just normal people who love Jesus. There's no, like, you know, I'm a super Christian. Dun, 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 with white teeth and gel hair. I'm so glad. We just got normal folks who just love Jesus and are trying to help other people to love him and to know him as well. That's what it's about. Right?
Right.
Okay. All right, well, there's a couple things we want to go over. Now, that card you have back there, is that for Gary, that one?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, Pinky, would you raise your hand? You'll never guess. This is Pinky. Hi, Rosie. Hi, Pinky.
Hi, Pinky.
Okay, Pinky has, for those of you who did not hear all the miraculous stuff that God is doing, here last week, we shared about, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 things. It lasted a while. So you'll have to listen online at homefellowshipchurch.com, but to hear some of those things and be encouraged by them. But one of the things, the master plumber guy by the name of Gary, who came and did all that work multiple times, the paperwork, everything, and then ended up doing it for free, which was on top of that. We've got a card back there for him, and if you would just, where is it?
It's on the back table, closest to the sink.
Okay, back table, closest to the sink. If you would just maybe sign it, put a blessing on there. God bless you. We're thankful for you. Just from some of the folks in the body. We're just going to send them a little gift certificate for Outback or something like that. I didn't know exactly what to do, but we just want to show them in some way how thankful we are for him and what a blessing. Okay, yes, that's all we do. So, okay, that's number one. Number two, where's Ash? Ash, where are you? Okay, Ashley. Ash, can you stand up for a second? That's just so fun to make you do that. Okay, that's all right, everybody. This is Ash. Okay, you can sit back down. Now, Ashley is going to get, if I understand it correctly, baptized. Oh, yes, at our home in the pool, and that's after church next Sunday. So if anybody wants to come over, I don't know if there's going to be 2 people or like 50 people or 70 people, but if you want to come over, we're just going to grill some hot dogs. People can swim in the pool. We're going to baptize Ashley, who has just accepted the Lord, and that's a real exciting thing. Now, can somebody tell me just why we baptize people biblically? Why do we baptize them? What's the big deal? Or do should we? I don't know. What I do know, but I'm
affirmation.
What?
The word affirmation of my belief in Jesus Christ.
Good, good.
Because Jesus was baptized.
Yes, good, good.
And he showed us that that's the way that we are to go.
Good, yes, good.
It's an outward showing what happened on the inside.
That's right. Good, good. Yes, good. What else?
We are buried and raised again.
Yes.
We bury our flesh and our sins, and we are raised again.
Absolutely, absolutely. When you go under that water, that's basically, you're saying to whoever is there, I want you guys to be my witnesses. I don't want to put anybody else first anymore. I don't want to put my friends first. I don't want to put my family first. I don't want to put my church first. I don't want to put myself first. I want to put you first, Lord, in every area. And all that sins, it's symbolic, just like Jesus died and rose again from the dead. That going under the water is a symbolic of leaving all that junk. You know what I'm talking about. The thoughts, the stuff you've done, the stuff that it's all going to be left there and coming up and rising again. And we're going to pray over her. And if you guys feel led to pray over Ashley that day, I know she's like, what? You're welcome to do that. Or if you'd like to give an encouraging word to her in the Lord, we're going to open it up for that. So again, I don't know if there's going to be 2 people or, you know, 72 people, but it, you guys are welcome to come. So I saw a couple hands go up. Yes?
If someone else has a decision to do that, can they see you and have that done?
Wonderful. Wonderful, yes. Nate. Thank you so much. Yes. Isn't that great? I meant to do that, and I was like,
yes.
So yes, listen, maybe you have just accepted the Lord, or maybe since you've, maybe you were dunked as a baby or had some water sprinkled on your head, you know? But if you look at believers in the Bible, when they were baptized, it was always when they became, gave personal professions of faith. You know what I'm saying? When they were old enough to say, you know what? I want to follow you. I'm committing my heart, my life to you, Lord. That's when they were baptized. That's, you see that throughout Scripture. And so maybe you're here today, and you've come to know the Lord. And maybe you just got sprinkled or something, or whatever. You just did it because that's what you did as a kid or in your church. If you've made that profession of faith and you want to get baptized, will you come see me or one of us here? And we would love to baptize you as well. Okay? Is that great? Okay. All right. Is there anybody else? Is there another hand that was about the same thing? Okay, good. Hey, George,
I have turned everything off. I don't think he had anything.
Don't want that visual. How about I
come
here? Hey, while we're doing that, a couple people we had talked about, at least at the youth group, and I have not given it to you yet. Thank you. You're awesome. Is the book by Charles Sheldon. It's an oldie but a goodie. It's called In His Steps. Okay? And so I did tell a couple of the youth, if anybody wanted to grow in their relationship with the Lord, to let me know. And so, Hezekiah, here's one for you. JoJo, is there one for you too? You want to read? Okay, I know. Ashley, I got one for you.
I have a question. I don't want to expose
it. Caleb, one for you.
I'll read it to Josh.
Here you go. Glad you guys are doing that. I'm going to throw it. Don't let it hit Sarah. No. Okay. Oh!
I don't think I have last week's anymore.
Don't try that at home, kids. Okay, if there's anybody else who wants that book and is going to read it, that's the thing. We just don't want to give out books. We want you to grow in the Lord. Then come see me afterwards, and we'll get some more in. Okay? All right, I think, just a quick mention, let's see if there's anything I forgot on our... Is that across? No. Okay, well, I'm just going to go from memory. Tuesday is the women's group, right?
Okay, Armor of God Bible study. Has that been awesome, girls?
Yes.
Yes. And so the enemy will try to keep you away from that, I'm sure. So just want to encourage you, go to that. I've heard from, I don't know, countless women how amazing that is. And so I want to encourage you to go to that. And that, what time is that?
6:30, 5:30, and 7:00.
You'd think I'd know that by now, but I don't know. Okay, 6:30 fellowship, 7:00 for Bible study. Wednesday will be at Youth for Christ at 6:30. And then Thursday, we are doing Work in the Word in the morning. I'll be leading devotionals. And so this Thursday, Sam won't be here. And then Friday, I think, is the prayer meeting here at the church. And that's at 6:30. So I think that's it for this week. Is there anything I'm forgetting? Okay, groovy. Okay, well, the good news is we've got a special
one. I have one more announcement.
Amy Amster has one more. Okay.
It's just about the VBS that is starting Monday.
Yes.
Tomorrow. Oh. And Lisa would like people, if you guys are planning on having the kids come, to sign up where Tom is holding up that
right there.
Because she said it'd be nice to have a heads up and a head count.
Yes, and here's what will happen, okay? That's why we're begging you to sign up, because we do a million different things at the same time, and somebody will say to us, oh, yeah, we're going to go to that. And then 10 seconds later, 20 other people talk to us, and we forget. Oh, can you just write that down for me? Yes, and then we forget. So just, if you're going, write it down. I think we've got a good amount of people coming to that. So I'm excited. So some folks said that they're bringing their kids and some of the neighbor kids. And I'm so excited, man. If you've got kids or you've got a neighbor kid, you want to bring them out, if they're okay, their parents are okay with that. This is from Child Evangelism Fellowship. This is going to be great for them. It is very solid. I'm very excited about that. So anyway, I just want to share that with you. Okay, now that's it. And that's this weekend, isn't it?
It starts tomorrow.
I knew that. Okay. We have a special, incredible guest speaker today.
Cool.
His name is Josh. So we're going to take a minute and we're going to pray for him, and then we're going to dig into the Word together. And I just love it, man. Nate taught on Proverbs 3:5-6 on at the men's group, and I just love that. And man, I just love when Josh comes up here and other people come up here and share just what God is speaking to each one of our hearts. Isn't that cool? Just love that. So let's take a minute and pray for this young man. And God, let's pray for ourselves. Father, we first just want to ask that you would speak to us, Lord God. That we wouldn't just be here just to take up space, Lord, or to do our duty on Sunday morning. Lord, I pray that you would reorient our hearts and our minds right now, that we would hear from you, that you would speak to each one of us personally by your Holy Spirit. So clear our thoughts of all the things that are vying for our attention, who we're mad at, our job, our pressures of our finances, Lord God, all the nitpicking and dumb stuff or the world that's going on around us. Let's just focus on what you have to speak to us, each one of us, to me personally today, to me. So, Lord, we just pray for an unction of your Holy Spirit to fall upon Josh, Lord God, that you would reorient his mind, Lord, to things above, Lord, to things unseen, Lord, not on things that are seen, Lord God, that you would help him to speak and teach, Lord God, in a way that communicates your heart, your word, and your Holy Spirit. Bless him, Lord, anoint his tongue, Lord, and orient his thoughts, that it would glorify you. We love you, and we bless you, and we thank you in the mighty, awesome, powerful name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. And amen.
Good morning. Here I am once again where I do not want to be, but Lord, just please give me the words and the right heart. I'm kind of a news junkie, and something not proud of, because boy, can it get you down pretty fast when you're reading and watching the news. But one thing I realize is, especially just with recent events, is it's great to be in the body of Christ. Without that, there is no hope. You know, if I watched the news and didn't have that hope, life would seem so dark. It would seem so just not valuable at all. And so I think sometimes we definitely take that for granted. I know I do, of that hope that Christ has given us, and especially in this world and how to walk through it. It's just, my heart's broken with all the violence that I see, just even the lost souls, just that emptiness you see in people walking around. You know, and to me, it's just a constant reminder, Lord, you know, use me, help me to prepare myself to be that vessel that you can use to minister to these lost souls. It's encouraging, too, you know, when you start seeing that darkness approach, our light gets to shine even brighter during those times because people are in such desperate need of the Lord. You know, I like to read history here and there, you know, and every generation is in desperate need of Jesus, and every generation is in desperate need of mighty warriors for Jesus. And so my prayer is that, Lord, just use us, make us those mighty warriors. And full disclosure before I even continue on is I failed in every aspect of what I'm going to teach in this last week. So I'm learning, I'm sharing. I don't know if I'm necessarily teaching, but it's what the Lord has taught me. So maybe you guys have gone through some of the same things too, but I know through my weaknesses, you know, he's made strong. And so praise the Lord for that. The title that I'm going to put on this today is Persevering to Patiently Endure. And it sounds a little strange, almost a tongue twister, but this is what I've learned this last few weeks. And just go back into my week a little bit. Carl, who I work with at work, has been gone for about 3 weeks. And during those 3 weeks, just about 3 weeks, work has been the busiest I've ever seen. I mean, just, I don't know which way to go. Any way is fine to go, but someone else is going to be mad if I don't go that way. And so it's, there's been a lot of anxiety. And in the meantime, we're trying to work on our house and to sell it. And so I find myself caught by surprise with my attitudes, my grumblings, and my mumblings. So I have not persevered to patiently endure this last week. But hopefully through these trials, I can come on the other side and learn even more of how to do that. The last few weeks, we have been going over Romans 5:3 about the sufferings, and then also the trials in James 1:2. And so I'm going to piggyback off of Darren, A, because he's already done all the hard work, so it makes it easy for me today. And B, I think it's very important. And also, I don't know who was here when Paul, the missionary to Nairobi, was here. He also talked about patience, which I thought was awesome. And so I'm going to probably be laying a few more bricks down on the road that he already started to pave. And it's just, I think it's so important here to underscore what the fruits of thalipsis is. Does anybody remember what that word means? Because I never heard it before until Darren quoted. Is that how you pronounce it? Thalipsis. I love what you did with the song. We changed it. So the last verse, yeah, I love it. So but does anybody remember what that means?
To squeeze, to afflict, to bring it to trouble, to crush, to press.
He's reading it.
See, there's technology back there. I can see it. But I think it's so important to underscore that, because what's all this suffering for? You know, and so we've talked about it's for the patience and endurance. Well, that sounds great. This whole week, I've been thinking about, well, what does that mean? You know, it sounds great, but all this suffering for that, you know, and how does that look? What does it look like? And so we're going to start in Romans 5:3, and then we're going to jump to some other places. If somebody could read that for me. We're not going to stay here long, so I'm not going to plagiarize Darren for that much longer. So.
Rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they are good for us. They help us learn to endure.
Okay. Does anybody have the King James?
I do.
Well, what does 3 say? What does 5:3 say in Romans? I know it's you, but I just like to ask.
And not only so, but with glory and tribulations, also knowing that tribulations work in patience.
All right, does anybody have the NIV?
Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we because we know that self-reproducing perseverance, perseverance, character, and character hope.
All right, yes. And so that, to me, I think it's awesome, these different translations. You have patience, perseverance, and you have endurance. You know, wow, what is, I guess to me, I wouldn't put all those together in a lump thing right there. You know, when I think of patience, I don't think of endurance necessarily, or even perseverance. And, you know, with that word, ellipsis, you know, it's that suffering. I like how James says it. It comes in various kinds. You know, and it's encouraging to me. It doesn't list, like, you know, sometimes I think, what am I whining about? What am I complaining about? My child isn't even that big. But in James, it says they're just various. You know, it doesn't say it has to be this bad for it to be a trial, or this bad for it to be a suffering. You know, it's where you're at right then and there, you know, and that can be your trial and your suffering. And C.S. Lewis once said, and this is for me, my reasoning and my logic gets in the way of the spiritualness of the Lord so often, because things don't make sense. And suffering is one of those things for me. I've only gone through a little bit of it in my life, and I've seen people go through way much more than I have. And it always, my logic always leaves a big question mark as to why, you know, but my spirit says to trust. And I'm trying to get more over into that spiritual side of trusting the Lord rather than my reasoning and my small little mind asking the whys. But it is so hard. Suffering is one of those things can stop you dead in your tracks, you know, and really make you say, Lord, what's going on? What do I need to do here? And I like what C.S. Lewis said. Faith is the art of holding on to things your reason has once accepted in spite of your changing moods. We are a stiff-necked people. You know, we just don't get things right off the bat. Now, I don't understand the mood things, but Amy does more than I do. So, just joking. I asked if I could say that. She gave me permission, so I'm okay. But we, our moods shift. They change. We have the biggest highs and the lowest lows. We have the middle, the numb, and then we're just blah, you know. And I find it so, I usually look at myself, you know, like even 3 weeks ago, oh yeah, you know, doing so awesome. Last week, not so good. Run down and just grumbling. That's who we are, you know, and we're very stiff-necked. And I think the Lord uses that suffering as a great training. And so what that produces, that ellipsis, is, and I'll just read three again. More than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance. And I just think patience is one of those things that doesn't come naturally to us at all. Yeah. Why would, you know, just case in point is we have to suffer to learn it, you know. You know, it's not that, I'm not talking about the patience where, like, on the outward, you're looking cool, calm, and collected, and you know, it's not that kind of patience. To me, it's a much deeper patience, and we're going to dive into that a little bit to see what it looks like. And so what that does is it produces patience in us, and then that endurance produces character. And I don't know if I'll get to all these fruits of what this suffering produces, but we're going to definitely hit on patience today. Now, the Webster's Dictionary, I looked up a bunch of definitions on patience and endurance and perseverance. And the dictionary says, patience, able to remain calm and not become annoyed, done in a careful way over a long period of time without hurting. Doesn't come naturally at all to us. Endurance, the ability to do something difficult for a long time. Perseverance, the quality that allows someone to continue trying to do something even though it is difficult. And so there's just this common thread here with these definitions. And I think that especially in the culture that we live in right now, patience is just, it's almost nowhere to be seen. We want things instantly, and we can get them instantly, and there's no need to practice any of those things, or it's hard to find where to practice it. And boy, getting annoyed, you know, Amy just up here today talking about, you know, music, not putting things in the right spot. You know, oh Lord, we need help, because I get so annoyed when the keys are in a different spot. The number in the different spot means a thousand different spots all the time. You know, I'm kind of guy where I hang my keys right up on the hook. Now, what Amy didn't mention is what she gets annoyed with me about is the way I drink water. You know, just these little simple things. Of, she says I take a huge breath, like I'm going to drown, before I drink water. I said, hey, I'm a Florida boy. That's what you do when you're around water. You hold your breath. And, so, but boy, we get annoyed by the littlest of things. think, you know, and I think through that, the ellipsis, that suffering, let us learn, let us be taught, you know, that patience and that endurance and perseverance. You know, the Lord uses it, and the more I think about it, that word patience, endurance, and perseverance is throughout the New Testament. It is everywhere. And just amazed by it. I wouldn't think of patience as a powerful thing. I wouldn't think of endurance as the most powerful thing to learn from, as a fruit, a byproduct of the suffering. But boy, is it. In the Greek, though, there's one word that describes all of these. And tell me if I'm right, Darren. It's hupomone. Hupomone. And so, well, I don't like saying it anyway, but in the Greek, it summarizes all these together into this sentence. A man who is not swerved from his deliberate purpose and his loyalty to faith, even by the greatest trials and suffering, a steadfast waiting, a sustaining. And I think it's so amazing that, you know, it is this most powerful thing, is that we can, when that suffering teaches us not swerve off the path, help us to not miss the mark. And that brings us to Hebrews 12:1. It's the best way to me that I could explain things to my own self of maybe summarizing what this endurance and this patience and what it looks like and to the wise. Surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. And we're going to dive into more of what this paragraph kind of looks like, but I think it's so neat. There's two trains of thoughts on this cloud of witnesses. You know, I think John Corson, he describes it, that they're actually cheering us on, you know, gives some scriptures to back that up. Others say it's just ones that have gone before us as examples, you know, that we get to look back. And I think it's so neat that we're not alone in our trials, and we can look, the Lord's given us examples of people, men of faith, that were just as weak as we are, and how they were able to use patience and endurance and perseverance and have gone before us. I think it's just such an amazing thing. You know, I like what John Corson said, when you start to feel weighed down and you can't get air, just think of Jonah. You know, when you start to feel those fiery trials come, just think of Rashach, Meshach, and Abednego. You know, we have these examples before us, and I think it's awesome that we do. We are not alone. These trials that we go through have taught ones before us, mighty men of the faith and women of the faith, and how to patiently endure. So therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin. And that sin is basically just missing the mark to wander from the path, which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. And now just going back up into these verses of Hebrews 12, let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. And that cling closely is, if you look at it as a race, you know, that word race in the Greek is stadion, and in the Latin is stadium. And you look at it, you know, it's just not this little race out in the middle of nowhere. This is a big event, you know, it's in an arena. And look at where we're at, you know, we are in such an arena in this world, and we have such a race to run here. And I like how it says that it's been set before us. Our lives are measured. You know, we have such great hope that the Lord is in control of our lives, that he's come and conquered death already. You know, and we just have to run the race that he set before us. To me, it's so awesome. We don't have to run aimlessly. What are we here for? What are we doing? And why? It's the Lord's given us the energy and the strength to do that. And so with that sin that comes in, though, it helps us it allows us to wander from the path. It helps us to miss the mark. And I just think about, even today, you know, the amount of time I had to spend preparing just to be able to talk in front of everybody far outweighs the amount of time I'm actually going to talk. you know, it's that training, and it shows you how to dive into scriptures, what scriptures to use. And I look at the same as a runner, you know, the training far outweighs the race every single time, you know. And for me, I played a lot of sports, and I was terrible at the training part of it. I just wanted to go and play. And now I'm paying for it. My body aches just about everywhere because everybody, oh, you got enough stretch. What's, you know, what's that all about, you know? And I just wanted to go play. And I think the same thing, you know, the trials and the suffering are the training, you know. It's so hard to go through it. You're exercising so much of your mental and even your physical strength sometimes to suffering. And it's preparing you to keep going on to that race, you know. And so for us, I think with the patience, here it says, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. And you could also put in some, it says, let us run with patience. Now, I never went up to somebody. Oh, yes, Adam.
My book says cut, not set. I hear cut. And I'm thinking of this race, thinking of path.
Yeah.
So many people
I like it.
Have cut. That path has been stomped down, laid before us.
Yeah, it's very true by those that have gone before us. And so I think, yeah, that's awesome. I like, actually, that reminds me, let's go to Romans 15:4. I think, kind of flying off the number here. Said we have so many examples. I think that scripture reading is so important. You know, you think of a track, and you have, I even think of a highway too for some reason, but you have this track and you have these lines, you know your lane. You know, now if you've ever seen a rundown track, those lanes start to fade, you know, and when you're not diving into that scripture, it starts to fade those lines, and that sin here is just basically, it's just a huge distraction. I don't even know if it's necessarily doing something evil and terrible. It's just, it's making you miss whatever mark you're supposed to be hitting. You know, and I like that because it leaves a general thing for us that whatever is pulling us away from the Lord is sin right here. It's missing, it's helping us get off the path that's intended for us. And so I think with those, you know, the more we're in the Word, the more it sustains us. And I like that, you know, the hupomone was a sustaining. I think of the Word as like a salt, you know, just a preservative. It keeps us pure. It keeps us holy. It keeps us longing and asking of the Lord and knowing what He wants from us. And so I always think of like that track, you know, just freshly painted lanes. We know right where to go. And with that, when we have that Word come into our hearts, I think that's where the patience comes in. We know who's in control. I like what Corrie ten Boom said. She's one of my favorite heroes of the faith because she was so real. You know, her sister Betsy, you know, she was awesome. Corrie ten Boom didn't want the suffering. She didn't want it. Why do I have to go through this? And almost grumbled quite a few times, but the Lord always poured so much into her because she always surrendered to the Lord and His will. And she said, when a train goes through a tunnel, it gets dark. You don't throw away the ticket and jump. You sit still and trust the engineer. And so to me, that's where we can get our patience and our endurance from. You know, when we don't have the Lord, we barely can run on our own will. We are quitters. We feel sorry for ourselves, yes. You know, and we can't run. And I like how, and Corrie ten Boom went through that dark tunnel, no doubt. You know, and to me, I love autobiographies. And Darren was talking about the scars, I think, last week. You know, with autobiographies of Christians, it's just not words at this point. It's their life. You know, and so you get to see the stripes on their back. They are faithful from the beginning and to the end, just like we have here in the Bible. You know, and to me, I love that. And Corrie ten Boom, you know, what a woman of God. Just absolutely love her. And so she went through those dark tunnels. And I think that patience is that we need to know who the engineer is. We know he's in absolute control, that this tunnel is going to last for a short period of time, which may seem forever, but our life is not forever here on earth. You know, it is short, and then we get to spend eternity. But we have to trust the Lord through these dark times. I think that's where the patience comes in, and the endurance, that we get to be fed by him. The opposite to me, in our natural knee-jerk reaction to a dark tunnel, is anxiousness. You know, I can't go through this. It's impossible. We're always caught by surprise. I liked in Romans 5:3 and in James 1 it says, you know these are going to be coming. Mm-hmm. Well, Lord, I got to get to the knowing part. You know, I am not there. I'm always caught off guard and caught by surprise through a trial. You know, everything will be going smooth, and then something happens, and it's just why. I get overwhelmed, I get anxious, and I get so troubled and heavy with cares. And you can't run a race that way. You have to trust the Lord that he's going to pull you through. And I have to get to that knowing part of, okay, these trials are going to come, and I have to be ready for them. And all the training and all the preparation is going to allow me to go through this and keep running.
You know, I was picturing when you were talking about the dark tunnel, too. Like, I was just thinking in my head, you know, when you're in a dark tunnel, it's dark.
Yeah.
I mean, you just can't, sometimes you can't even see, like we're in Tennessee driving through the mountains. They didn't have those lights in them. And it's so dark, and you can't hardly, there looks like there's no light. But you know, at the end of it, you know there's an end, and you know that there will be light there. And so it's almost like, it's like remembering, as those other trials we've gone through before, those other tunnels, maybe they were shorter, or maybe they were whatever, but those have prepared us to go through even these other times.
Yep. Yeah, I agree, you know, and with that too, it's, you have no control in a way. The only thing you can do is trust in the Lord. And that's where, for me, I'm really trying to learn how to do that. That, you know, I'm a fixer and a solver, you know. When something breaks in the house, I look at it and try to fix it, and so when those struggles and that dark tunnel comes, I want to fix it. Sometimes I can't. I can only trust in the Lord, you know. And so with this race that we're running, I like it, you know. This arena, and this cutout path that we're running in, it allows us to show character too. You know, that's that next fruit of the suffering. And Amy and I were talking, and, you know, sometimes you can go by. We love looking at houses. You know, we'll take evening drive, just look at houses nonstop. I don't know what it is. It's some kind of sickness we have. But we love it. We love doing it. And so when you go across some of these houses, that you can see an old house that's just so weathered and barely hanging on. You see these other houses that are the same year that are old and have so much character, so much just the attention to detail that the carpenter did. And it's still standing. You know, it's weathered so many storms. And I think that's with that patience, with that character, you know, that patience works into that character because, man, we've gone through it. We're understanding it more and more, and we're learning how to trust more and more in the Lord. And in that arena, you know, people, only through the Lord and his grace, you get to become a great runner, a great marathon runner, you know, not by our own doing, but because of our trust in him. And so that character, to me, is something that you can always spot in somebody. You know, it's pretty easy. You can get, you know, kind of swindled here and there, but it's hard to fake character for a long period of time. You know, and when you can see the Lord working in that, like Darren said, when you see the scars, that's what makes the testimony so powerful. Really, a testimony is one big scar, you know, and it's where the Lord has just come and completely transformed you, done that work with that sharp sword, that scalpel, you know, and was able to just do that great work in you. And so that character, to me, is while we're in this arena here on earth, you know, people are going to look at that. Words are words, you know. And again, that's why I like the autobiographies, you know, is because those words become transformed into somebody's life. And that's the same with us. You know, we can talk a good talk, And we might be able to fool some, you know, we can never fool the Lord with it. And so, to me, we have to have good character, and that patience comes first, the trust in the Lord that he's going to get us through it. And which then allows us to help other runners, you know, in the race, which helps us to encourage others. So, where were we? Yes.
One of the things that I was thinking about too, that I know we had talked about, is that this is an arena, you know? So it's like, it's almost like a spectator sport. Like, yeah. Everyone's like watching too. So in a way, it's kind of like, you know, people are watching this race and watching you be patient, watching you have that character, and that encourages others. And it also is kind of like you're being watched, you know? You have to walk the walk.
And I was thinking too, like sometimes you can, you know, you've ran a few 5Ks, right? And I've run a few, and you know, when you get up to the starting line, you know, it's almost everybody is pumped and ready to go, you know, and you almost start off at the same speed,
right. Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
But I think of, like, one thing I've noticed and is runner's clothing. You know, I'm like, I'll never wear runner's clothing, but it serves a purpose. It is light. You know, it is so light. And I'm just thinking of that sin that just really cleans you. I've never seen someone show up at a race wearing blue jeans, sweatshirt, or winter's boots, dress suit. You know, you're gonna start off just fine. You're not gonna finish the race. It's not gonna happen. Yes, Gloria.
You know, when you talk about a race, if you started out a race, and I think about laying aside every weight that hinders us or clings to us or keeps us from winning that race. Think about that runner starting off with a stone in his shoe.
Yeah.
Or a little pebble in his shoe, maybe a little tiny thing, but if you're running a race, that thing is going to hinder you and keep you from winning that race. Mm-hmm. You know, I love Corrie Ten Boom. Corrie Ten Boom is one of my heroes too, but one of the things that she needed to get rid of was unforgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a stone in her shoe.
Yeah.
And until she got rid of that, she couldn't be really used of the Lord that completely.
I mean, and just to build off of that, I remember when she, I don't remember all the specifics, but she had finally met a guy that's one of the Nazi guards at one of those camps that did terrible things, if I'm correct. And I don't know if he was speaking at that day, and she happened
speaking.
To be there.
She was a speaker.
Okay. Yeah. And did he come up and ask for forgiveness? Yeah. You know, here you think going through the concentration camp would be the hardest thing in your life, the biggest trial and the biggest suffering, you know, but for her it was that forgiveness, you know, and having to do it. And that, you know, it's just amazing how the Lord works. The Lord encountered that patience and that endurance and that perseverance, you know, and that even there, through this trial, she had gone through so many with the Lord that, you know, okay, Lord, I'm going to do this too. I trust you. I can patiently do this. So let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. I just think it's so important not to get sidetracked, not to get missing the mark the Lord has for us. Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, you know, and there's the hope that comes in, you know, I was just thinking John Corson, too, is also talking about how, you know, he views this race as a marathon. Usually, this Olympic kind of race that this word comes from is like a 600-foot lane that you would run, you know, while everybody's watching you. And, you know, but you think of a marathon. I've never ran one of those, and no, I couldn't, you know. But you get, all marathoners say you hit this wall at some point. And then we were listening to something on the way here is this Navy SEAL kind of motto is the 40% rule. You know, I never had heard of that before, but basically, when your mind's telling you that you're done, your body's only reached 40% of its maximum capacity of doing so. You still have 60% left in the tank, but your mind is telling you have nothing left. And went on to give this example of this, the SEAL came to live with this guy and was having him do pull-ups the first day. Well, he doesn't do pull-ups, so he can only do 8. The guy waited 30 seconds, give me some more. You know, he did 8 more. And pretty soon, he can only do 3, and then 2. And so probably did about, you know, 30 push-ups. And Navy SEAL's like, no, now you're going to do 100 total. I go, I can't. He goes, but one by one, he was, finally hit 100. And I think with us, with that sin and those weights do, is it makes us feel like we have nothing left in the tank. There is nothing. Our mind has become so powerful. And again, you know, if we can count these trials as joy, that the Lord is doing something through them, that he's working something in us, then we can hit our maximum potential and we can keep running and not be weighed down. And I like that, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, and that word is to fix our eyes upon him. You know, it's just not like glancing over and you know, there he is. We are fixated on him. And the great thing is he had to go to the cross, and he had to endure it too with great patience. You know, you want to talk about a trial, and it, further into 12, it talks about, you know, have we resisted struggles? Have we resisted against sin to the point of shedding blood? You know, here in the garden, he's praying. And I know there's a medical term for it, but, you know, the blood, his sweat turned into blood. You know, he's gone before us. I think it's so amazing that we can ask for help, and there is great empathy in giving us help. Sorry, I don't know if I should do this analogy. My kids said, don't do it, Dad. It's a terrible analogy. If it's terrible, we'll leave it here. If it does something, then we'll go with it. But, you know, there's a science experiment. It's a bad paraphrase. I heard it a while ago. And basically, these scientists had rats, and they put them in water. And I think after, you know, let's say, we'll just make this number up, but after 20 minutes, they drowned.
Yeah.
Okay, and they try it again. Once again, they drowned. Then what happened was, they put these rats in. At that 20-minute mark, they pulled them out for maybe like, I think, for 10 seconds or something, you know, just some little amount of time, put them back in. They kept swimming, 20 more minutes. Took them out, put them back in, kept swimming. I think it went on for like 20 hours. I might be off, but it was something just extreme. And the only thing they could deduce from it was that these rats knew they were going to be rescued. You know, that there was going to be someone to pull them out and then to give them that little bit of energy left, you know, and then they can go at it again. And Lydia's like, don't use rats, Dad. Don't. It's such a terrible picture. You know, maybe pretty mice anyway. But but you think about it. You know, this marathon we're reaching, we hit this wall. We can't do it on our own, you know, but we can look to the Lord who conquered death, who endured the cross. And the cool thing about his patiently enduring, now, you know, we can endure something. I think it's amazing that a lot of places in Scripture says patiently endure. Like, you're using the same word twice. What is that about? You know, I don't quite get it. But if we can just endure something and complain, but you're enduring it, you know, you're going through it. But you, woe is me, you know, it's terrible and this and that. Oh, the Lord is going to get me through it. I know he will. I think that patiently enduring is where we can say, this is hard, this is rough, but the Lord's going to pull me through it. I can even be a witness. I can even minister. When I'm going through suffering and trials, I don't want to do anything for anybody else. You know, it's about me here. Look at me. I am really suffering. And I think of Jesus, how he endured the cross. Here he's on the cross. He's taking our sin, every one of our sins that are so nasty, so disgusting. And while he's doing that, he saved somebody on a cross right next to him.
Yeah.
You know, he's enduring that cross. What he's not fixated on, he wanted that cup to pass. But he said, Lord, your will be done. And when he said that, and he accepted the Lord's will for his life, that even through this suffering on the cross, hanging, being pierced, ridiculed, mocked, somebody else was saved and was entered into the kingdom of God that day. I think, Lord, you know, how many times through my suffering do I just so focus on myself? I don't realize the other ones around me, that even through my suffering, I could be that bright light. If I can patiently endure this suffering, if I can patiently trust in you, because our hope is not here. Our hope is in the Lord, and that one day we will be with him and forever and for eternity. And to me, it's such a great relief that my life is measured You know, I've witnessed a lot of sad things in life, a lot of tragedy, and it's so hard. But that trust in the Lord can pull you through those, and knowing that my life has already been set. He knows my hour, my time, you know, and if I can learn to trust in that, if I can learn to patiently trust in that, I lack patience so much, and in reading all this, I've realized how much I lack it. I think I'm pretty tough. I've gone through a lot of things. I've endured a lot of things, and I can tell people, look at what I've endured. But when you put that word patience in front of it, kind of erases all those things I endured, you know, because a lot of it's been grumbling, and a lot of it I can celebrate after the fact. I want to learn to have joy in it. I want to learn how to have patience in it and trust in the Lord that I can keep racing. And so, to me, this word patience, to me, it's so important. I've probably done it injustice as far as explaining it, because this suffering is what it produces this. You know, the trials we go through produces this, and it's not for nothing. And there's a George Matheson. I love what he said here. And he's talking about Hebrews 12:1, how to run with endurance the race set before us. We commonly associate patience with lying down. We think of it as the angel that guards the couch of the invalid. Yet there is a patience that I believe to be harder. The patience that can run, to lie down in the time of grief, to be quiet under the stroke of adverse fortune, implies a great strength. But I know of something that implies a strength greater still. It is the power to work under stress, to have a great weight at your heart and still run, to have a deep anguish in your spirit and still perform the daily tasks. It is a Christ-like thing. The hardest thing is that most of us are called to exercise our patience, not in the sickbed, but in the street. To wait is hard. To do it with good courage is harder. You know, and it's that thing, this patience is an active thing. It's while we're running. It's while we're in the thick of it. It's while we are getting tired and hitting that wall in this marathon. And it's something that we need to do with good courage. And, you know, I work with Josh Smith over there, and so he gets to put me to test this week to see if I can practice it, because our week isn't any easier than last week with the amount of stuff we have to do. But I pray that we can learn and even study more and more of what this endurance and this perseverance is, because I think it's a great quality, a great characteristic of a total and complete surrender to the Lord. And I want more of it. I want more and more and more of it, so I can share in my times of struggles and share in my times of peace. And that's all I have today. I'm just going to close in prayer. Lord God, I just pray that, Lord, I know you've spoken to my heart, Lord, and I just pray that we would learn just to surrender, Lord God, and that we would just trust and have our eyes fixated upon you, Lord, that nothing else would distract us, Lord God. That as we dig into your word, Lord, I'm so guilty of just not digging enough into it, Lord. And sometimes my lane guidelines get a little faded, Lord, and I start to wander from the path of the race that you've set before me. Lord, I pray that we can just fixate our eyes upon you, Lord, that the blinders would just set in and that we'd not be distracted, that we would be anxious for nothing, Lord God, that the troubles and the cares that we can lay down, that those would not be weights, or as Gloria said, stones in our shoes, Lord God, that just distract us. Lord God, this world is so dark, Lord God, it is in so need of you. Lord, I pray that we can have joy through the suffering, Lord, and I pray that this suffering that each one of us has to go through, is going through, will go through, Lord God, will produce patience, Lord, just that endurance in you, Lord, that perseverance in you, Lord God, and then the character and the hope, Lord. We are waiting, Lord God, for you to come. Lord, we are waiting for you to come rescue us, Father God. I pray that you would use us, Lord, that you would build that character in us through the suffering, Lord God. That character that people can see in this great big arena that we're in, Lord, and that we can share and that we can just be a light into the darkness, Lord God. I just pray for those that are here that don't know you, Father, that are off the path that you've set before them, Lord God. Whatever that sin is, Lord, whatever they've done, Lord,
that they can come back onto that path and they can run that race, Lord God. I pray for any sufferings that they might have had, Lord, that they don't know, understand why, Lord, or the hurts that they've experienced, Lord. I pray that they would just come and bend their knee, Lord, and allow you to heal those things, Lord, and that healing process produces these scars, Lord, and that we can look back and see your handiwork, Lord, of how you've healed us and that you've fixed us. Lord, I just pray for those that have wandered from the path, Father God, that as a prodigal son or daughter, Lord, that they would just understand how you are looking for them, Lord. You're waiting for their return. Lord, how much you love them, that you love them so much. You gave your son for them, Lord, to die on the cross, to endure the cross, to endure our shame and our sin. And so I just pray for those today, Lord, that don't know you, that they would understand that you just want them. You are waiting for them with your arms open wide, Lord, that you can take them as they are, Father. We give you this day. I pray for our weeks, Lord, that we can just practice patience with our spouses, with our co-workers, and just with those that we run into, Lord God. And again, I pray for any saints here that are just going through trials and suffering, Lord. I don't mean to minimalize it or it's so hard, Lord, and I'm still learning how to go through them in the proper and right way. And so I pray that any of those that are suffering today, Lord God, that they would reach out, Lord, that we can lift them up in prayer, Lord God, that we can just constantly encourage and comfort them, Lord. And we just love you, Father. We love the body of Christ. We are just so thankful that you have died for us, Lord. Not only did you save the man on the cross, but you also endured enough to save us, Lord. And we just are so thankful. I don't know where I would be without you, Father. Just thank you for helping me to be a marathon runner, Lord, just to get the job done down here. Lord God, I just love you, Father. And we just give you this day. Amen. Amen. Wasn't that a good word, everybody? Yeah. So there was one thing before we go. The Lord gave me a little illustration with my son, and I thought, why are you giving me that? And when I heard Josh's message, it kind of became clear. For those of you who don't know, my little 5-year-old, or just turned 6, Ezekiel Truth.
Yeah.
You know, he's kind of a give it all you got kind of kid. Yeah. You know, with the gut, he's got gusto, whatever you want to say. He's got it. And, you know, as Josh was talking about how we're in an arena, and people are watching you, and are you patient enduring? What's the thing that's tripping you up? You know, are you patiently enduring? You know, and sometimes some of our mindsets, we need to ask the Lord to change our mindsets, because we've got stinking thinking or we've got wrong thinking. We're up and down, roller coasters and emotions, and we need to patiently endure and to show that as a witness to those who are watching, more so than even that, for our Lord Jesus Christ, fixing our eyes on him. And I was thinking of my son, he was singing this song, and you know, with all he's got, you know, all little 5-year-old has got, you know, when the crook weighs war, never be on my lips, Lord, never be on my lips. And we're like, oh, no, son. No. You know, he's learning these songs in Sunday school. He's loving, he's worshiping the Lord. No, it's not never be on my lips. It's ever be on my lips. Never means like when you're having a hard time, you're just grumbling and complaining, not patiently enduring. So you want to ever be on my lips. And he's like, oh, I didn't mean to say that to the Lord. And I said, oh, well, that's why we're teaching you. You know? Okay, so he goes, okay, let's sing it again. So he goes, Lord, let your praise be ever be on my lips, Lord. And then he goes, never be on my lips, Lord. And so, you know, but I think, isn't that just like us? When we hear a word like this, we're like, that is so right on. Yes, hallelujah. We walk out that door in 5 minutes, let your praise never be on my lips. So, I want to ask you, just like we asked our son, but that showed a picture of me right there.
Oh, yeah.
We need to ask the Lord, change our thinking. And let your praise, Lord, ever be on our lips. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Love you guys. God bless you. Have a great week in Jesus' name. Don't forget to sign the card and the VBS sheet.